From KMXT and Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Scientists and detectives have a lot in common. Both try to solve mysteries by following a trail of evidence. In 2017, the case Alaska's fish scientists were working was the mysterious disappearance of the Pacific cod in the Gulf of Alaska. They had a prime suspect. Its name was the Blob. The marine heat wave that swept into the Gulf between 2014 and 2016 was historic. And when the bottom trawl surveys in 2017 showed an alarming 79% drop in cod biomass, it was easy to point the finger at the Blob. But the details were scarce. For one thing, why was cod the Blob's victim? Other species had seemingly been left unscathed, while some had even thrived during the heat wave. Clues began to pile up as test results came in. For one thing, the warmer water raised the metabolic rate of young cod. A higher metabolic rate meant young cod needed more food to survive. At the same time, the composition of vital forage species, especially plankton, the tiny critters at the base of the food web, changed dramatically. The high-fat species that had dominated the blooms were replaced by high-protein species. So, at a time when they needed ribeye steak, tofu was on the menu. And scientists also learned that a relatively narrow band of water temperatures is required for the successful survival of cod eggs. The Blob brought in temps that virtually cooked the eggs in their beds. The case isn't closed yet, and a recent cooling trend has given cod in the Gulf a bit of a respite. But if water temperatures continue to trend upward in the Gulf, we can reasonably expect more assaults on the cod biomass going forward.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
And now the scientists have a new case, the mystery of the vanishing snow crab. Like the cod in the Gulf of Alaska, Bering Sea snow crab seemed to be on the verge of a banner year when stock assessment surveys conducted in 2020 caused managers to set the lowest total allowable catch ever and declare the fishery overfished, which compelled them to begin formulation of a rebuilding plan. Here is Ben Daly from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game from a presentation he gave at this year's Comfish Alaska.
So the big question is, what the heck happened with snow crab?
They had three scenarios in mind that might explain the lack of opies.
It really boils down to kind of three core hypotheses. One, that the survey was wrong. The population decline wasn't real. The crab are out there. The survey missed them. The second is that the population decline wasn't real. The crab are still out there. They just moved outside of the survey area. And the third is that they died.
Obviously, fishermen would prefer that the survey missed them or that they just walked away or both.
So they still could be in the survey area and the survey missed them. As we all know, the Eastern Bering Sea is it's a vast ocean out there. The net touches a very small portion of that ocean. In fact, approximately 0.004% of the entire survey area is touched by the survey net. So you can imagine it's not unreasonable to think that the survey might have missed portions of the population. However, because of the uniform spacing, it seems unlikely that you would have huge aggregations of crab kind of evenly spaced in between the survey trawl locations.
In other words, it's highly unlikely that the crab cleverly lined themselves up between the survey lines to disappear in plain sight. Crabs do have legs, though, and are known to use them. Is it possible that they just walked into the Northern Bering Sea or into Russian waters?
Is it possible that they moved north into the Northern Bering Sea area outside of the Eastern Bering Sea area? Well, I mentioned that that Northern Bering Sea survey has been happening. The two most recent years were in 2019 and 2021. And when we look at high density areas shown here of 4-inch males, the Northern Bering Sea area doesn't explain the loss of crab that we saw in the Eastern Bering Sea.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Matson, providing twice weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle.
So what was going on during the fishery during all of this? Fishing occurred much farther north in 2020 than it has in the past. And that's largely in the response to where the crab are. Fishermen are extremely good at finding crab, and so they're going where the higher catch rates are occurring. We saw a slight uptick in the average CPUE in 2020. That was largely because the fishery was moving farther up north. So there was some decent fishing way up north. In fact, it was so extreme that there was lots of concentrated fishing effort right along the Russian border. So that kind of begs the question, if fishing's getting very good, the farther we go up north, right up into the Russian border, is it possible that these crabs crossed into Russian waters? We don't really have a good handle on what's going on with population abundance numbers in Russian waters. We've got some information about the fishery performance of the Russian fleet. When you look at the Russian fishery performance, you're sort of seeing the steady increase in CPUE over time. So their fishing's getting better up until 2020, where we see this drop. So if crab and the U.S. side are marching north and are indeed crossing into Russian waters, you might expect to see an increase in the Russian CPUE, but we did not see that. We saw a drop. So it kind of begs the question, are crab moving from Russian waters down south into U.S. waters? And that's why we're seeing kind of a better fishing up close to the Russian border. That leaves kind of the final hypothesis, did they die? And that's sort of the current thinking, that there was some high mortality event that occurred in the last handful of years that caused the extreme population decline that we've seen. The sources of that mortality could be from a number of areas, predation, disease, changing ocean conditions, including thermal stress, ocean acidification, dissolved oxygen levels, starvation, fishery mortality, or other. There's a lot of uncertainty with regard to the exact source of the decline relative to mortality. So in summary, we saw a dramatic population decline in the last 3 years. The stocks declared overfished. Lots of uncertainty related to the cause of that decline. I mentioned movement issues, mortality issues, changes in fishing behavior, Russian border issues that complicate our understanding of snow crab populations, as well as environmental change. All that said, there's likely not one single smoking gun to explain the recent population decline. It's likely a combination of movement and a high mortality event.
During During the question period, Duncan Fields pressed Ben Daly about possible causes.
So you were talking about snow crab and you're talking about movement and mortality, but you didn't amplify what are the thesis or what are the suspected causes of mortality. And I know those aren't provable, sure. But as a scientist managing this fishery, what do you think's happened?
Yeah, great question. You know, I kind of alluded to some of the different pieces in one of those slides there. We do have some data from the survey. I mentioned the survey is one of our most reliable and impactful data streams. One of the things they do on the survey is collect stomachs from fish, ground fish. And so we've got stomach content data, and those data do suggest that predation by cod in particular has increased in recent years. The thing with that is, you know, ground fish predation on snow crab is primarily on crab that are 60 millimeters and smaller. So that can explain, that might explain what's going on with the decline with the smaller crab. They don't so much prey on the larger crab. There's some caveats to that. You know, the survey's collecting data in the summertime when adult snow crab are likely not molting. And so there could be more predation on these larger crabs at other times during the year. We're not seeing that in the data stream just because the data is being collected in the summer. So anyway, predation's one potential source. We've got some information on disease prevalence, particularly bitter crab syndrome for snow crab. And there's some information to suggest that bitter crab syndrome's becoming more prevalent in recent years. So those are two that we do have some information on. Physiological tolerances to a changing environment are another. We've got ocean acidification issues. This is a cold adapted species, so warming conditions are going to be stressful for these animals. Whether, you know, how much these different factors play into the overall survival is sort of difficult to tease apart, but those are kind of a handful of the suspected causes.
Ah, another suspect, bitter crab syndrome. This disease, which affects a number of valuable crab species around the world, is caused by dinoflagellates, the same type of plankton that causes deadly red tides and light up the ocean with bioluminescence. The dinoflagellate that causes bitter crab disease works its way into the crab's bloodstream, where it somehow goes undetected by its hemocytes, which function like white blood cells. In fact, the parasites eventually replace the hemocytes as they steal the crab's energy from the inside, making them sluggish, eventually causing the flesh to become inedibly bitter, and finally resulting in the death of the host. Plankton populations are very much affected by sea surface temperatures. Their blooms can feed the ocean, or they can be deadly to its denizens. It's possible that the most significant results of climate change will come about through the changes we will see in the life cycles of these tiny creatures.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.